This is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. With the growing dependency on technology, parents tread a fine line between providing their children with tools available to be successful and keeping them safe from internet addiction, cyberbullies, and online predators. If you're worried that technology is consuming and compromising your child's life, stay tuned. Up next, we chat with the author of the book, Unplug, Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World, and it all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is the founder and director of the Technology Wellness Center, one of the first organizations to address the global issue of technology addiction and overuse. As a licensed clinical psychologist, she focuses on family and adolescent clients struggling with issues including depression, anxiety, and addiction. With the growing dependency on technology, more and more people are being subjected to cyberbullying, depression, and even suicide. Here to discuss this topic is Dr. Lisa Stroman, co-author of the book, Unplug, Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World. Welcome, Doc.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so glad to have you on the show. As we mentioned in the break, I think this is the most important health topics when it comes to the physical and mental health of children and teens. There are several areas of concerns when it comes to technology addiction. First, let's discuss the disconnection that technology has on families. I know so many parents who've lost touch with their kids, and literally the way to communicate through them is text and Facebook.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of utilizing the tech, the way that our younger generation is using it. That's the only way that we're able to connect with them sometimes. So it's often what I see is parents kind of giving in and falling into that trap of now no longer having kind of real intimate, like personal relationships or communications with their kids.
I know my mom used to say, David, it's dinner time. And I'd go, now parents text the kid upstairs.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So how could they improve more communication? Is it a lost cause? Are we kind of just trapped in this technology world and parents have to adapt to it?
No, it's not a lost cause. I talk to parents all the time, and if I give them too much information, I think they get really overwhelmed. But very simply, it's more equating it to something like food. You know, I'd love to have chocolate cake every day, and right, probably more than once a day, but I can't. You know, it's not healthy and it's not good for us, and there's consequences to that. And technology is very similar. If you utilize it too much and you rely on it too much, there's going to be consequences of it in a personal nature. So that's how I really talk to them about, it's just about balance. If they can introduce balance within their families. My family does a tech-free Tuesday, and that's, you know, we pull out the old board games and we play things, and, you know, it's like everybody looks forward to that. So it's just kind of going back to basics.
Text-free Tuesday, that's a good idea. I was thinking, how do you find a way to actually at least have a little time? Because otherwise, it's back and forth, LOL, or ROMFL, back and forth with your friends in this, you know, instant messenger texting. So, you know, text-free Tuesday, that's a neat idea. And then maybe add more and more, maybe Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, so that's great. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, for our listeners that perhaps don't understand the term I mentioned in the intro, cyberbully, tell us what this means and why is it a concern?
So cyberbullying is essentially harassment online. It's threatening, it's menacing, it can be stalking, but the term cyberbullying is basically where you are going after someone using some form of electronics or technology.
Right.
And that's technically what a cyberbully is. And the issue of why it's getting so extreme is because we don't know how to let go of it. We can't escape from it. So if we're going to be on our devices or we're going to be on these platforms, then they always have access to us.
So explain this, because I remember being bullied at school. Of course, we're going way back before there was such thing as cell phones and even internet. But his name was Rick Torino, and because we attended the same classes, there was no avoiding this bully. He'd find me, he'd trip me, he'd flick me, he'd spit on me, whatever it was. However, with the internet, isn't it easy to avoid cyberbullies? Can't someone just simply unfriend them or block them from their life?
You would think that it would be easy, but unfortunately, there was a national case recently where an 18-year-old for months and months had endured these cyber bullies attacking her with utilizing, again, another technology. There's apps that you can put, you can become anonymous, so nobody knows where it's coming from. And if somebody knows your name or where you go, you're very easy to find online with that digital footprint. And they just kept going after her and after her, and she ended up taking her life.
Wow, that's awful. And that, you know, brings us to another topic. I said there's multi-avenues where technology has issues, especially with children and teens, but one is a difficult topic, suicide. How has the advancement of technology contributed to this increase? And I hear it's getting really high up there. It's rising of kids taking their own lives. What are some warning signs?
Some of the warning signs that you can see in kids, if they've just kind of start to withdraw, if they start to, their friend group seems to, they pull back from doing any socialization in clubs or after school sports or things like that, and mood shifting. And this is the tricky part in this age group. For girls, it's gone up in the last 10 years 200%, and it's gone up 50% in boys. And the age group highest at risk is 10 to 14 years of age right now. So when you think of that age group from a developmental perspective, those kids are already emotional and their brains are developing. And so some of those mood shifting and friend issues seem to be normal behavior. And so how do you determine whether or not a normal behavior can elevate itself to a suicide risk? And what I recommend now is if you see a behavior change in your kids, you directly ask them. Because I had three students this week that have come in that are suicidal and the parents had no idea. So just asking direct questions and saying, you seem like this is bothering you. Tell me how that feels. What are you thinking about? You know, have you ever thought about hurting yourself? And they pretty much, like, they have such a big burden inside, they actually want to let it out. So parents have to not be afraid to ask those difficult questions.
Yeah, and you mentioned a code that I hadn't heard before, and a lot of parents probably haven't as well. It's KYS, stands for kill yourself. And you mentioned 50% of the kids you've worked with have said they know someone that has talked about or considered suicide after being told to KYS. Back to what I was saying, when I was a child, I remember hearing things like go jump off a bridge, crawl under a rock and die, Friedman. I never took those words literally. Why is somebody typing KYS into a smartphone having such an impact?
You know, it's the same. I think it's the same thing as go jump off of a bridge. I think a lot of kids use it in a joke manner because they're in a mindset that they're not thinking about hurting themselves. KYS, KMS, kill myself. Like the vernacular and the thought and talking about it is so fluid now. It's everywhere. I think that the kids that are okay, you know, never, like you, never really thought that they really meant that. But right. If you take a kid who's vulnerable, who's been bullied, let's say since fifth grade, and now he's in seventh grade, and people start to tell him or throw that some, you know, emoticons of rope and, you know, KYS and, you know, why are you still here? I mean, that's what's happening. And so these kids are like, you know what, you're right. It's been 3 years. I've been doing this for this long. I am just going to end it. And that's what I think is happening. It's like we have this very vulnerable population that's getting this messaging, and they're following through.
And you know what I just thought of? And this might be, correct me if I'm wrong, people are braver sitting behind a computer or smartphone. If you're face-to-face, you're kind of not as much as a bully or you're looking somebody in the eye. I think that people are braver. I see complaints and stuff online, and I'm thinking if that person was sitting in front of me, there would be no complaints.
I just published a blog on drdrew.com. There's on this whole topic, and I wrote those words exactly. I said, from the comfort of our devices in the sanctity of our homes. Yep, I wrote the exact same thing. Yep, it is. It's definitely something that you have to take a look at.
That's true. So now you mentioned, you know, talk to your kids, but, you know, a lot of kids are going, I'm fine. Do you recommend the next level? Should parents maybe monitor their child's use on computers or smartphones? I know there's apps that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, all of internet service providers are definitely something that parents can refer to as a first step because they have plans that are in place there. There's third-party programs that you can buy, monitoring programs. I mean, a lot of I have the Technology Wellness Center. I would say probably 75% of the questions that I get to me on that website are, how do I do this and what are the monitoring programs? So that's part of my, my focus is like, how do we direct them? And I always say, you know, don't try to go spend all, you know, any money if you don't have to. I mean, because there are really good through Verizon or Sprint or T-Mobile or any of them, AT&T. Like, if you go to them and say, what can I do to monitor what's going on? They will walk you through what it is that you can do.
And even if they monitor, I know you mentioned the book, Hidden Codes that kids use. So even if parents are reading, a lot of times they don't know what that means. I mean, for a while, right. I thought LOL meant Look Out Larry. I didn't. Like, who's Larry?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I still get some. I mean, I see a lot of my practice as teenagers. And so I do hear a lot of these texting lingos that I don't know and I have to ask, which is how I, you know, stay relevant, I think, in the field is like understanding it. But I think nowadays, if you come across some sort of code or something like that, and you type it into Google, even most of the time, find something, you'll find it translated for you online.
That's a good idea. Yeah, a lot of parents don't realize you can utilize that. You know, it's, the old days, they're used to telling us, yeah, you don't know how to spell it, look it up in the dictionary. And it's like, no, everything's Google now. You can even type a question with a question mark and it answers it. You know,
so right. Can you imagine if you had to go to a card catalog and look everything up nowadays?
Oh, man. I remember I remember writing my my first book and CD, and I was at the library trying to find books and read. It's so easier now. Boom, it's right in your face. So it's true.
Right.
Now, you mentioned in one of your articles something that I believe can help adults as well, resisting the impulse to respond on social media. Sometimes simply deleting or ignoring a post is the best offense. Sometimes commenting is just throwing gasoline on the flames, and I've seen it online, and it's just ongoing fight. And if you stop, the thread stops. But it's easier said than done. So what advice do you give us for people that want to retaliate and defend their position?
Well, I would tell you to stop thinking of everybody else is like you, because I think that we make a habit out of assuming that people have the same mindset that we do. And if you look around and you're in a crowd of five people, probably three of them have something that they're struggling with. It's anxiety, if it's depression, even more serious things like schizoaffective or, you know, borderline. Like, there's some really strong personality issues and disorders that are out there, and all of those people are online too. And so you have to start being really cautious about who you're interacting with online. And if somebody is saying something that's outlandish and it's incredibly vicious, they're not somebody that has an ethical or a moral compass that's probably aligned with yours. So why jump into that battle? Because you will lose.
Good point.
I guarantee you.
Good point, because I saw it with the election. I mean, people were back and forth, death threats, unfriending, and it's like, hey, half the country's going to be divided. Are you really going to try to get that other half on your side? It's not going to happen. Why can't we just accept differences of opinion? I love differences of opinion. You know, I just interviewed a lady who's pushing eating steak and beef and pork, and I wanted her on the show. I don't eat those things, but I want her, and I didn't fight her. I'm sit back and I listen. I'm just unique. I like differences of opinion. I think it makes America.
Right.
Don't be so defensive. I could have cut her off and say, well, what do you mean you eat beef? And blah, 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 blah. I could have thrown. I didn't do that because, you know what? I respect her. She's a smart woman. I love, and if people would accept that, don't you agree that we'd be able to be more tolerant?
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's interesting to me because the science shows now that the more time you spend on technology, that your or basically our compassion and patience with others goes down. So, you know, we're setting ourselves up for this pretty extreme society by spending so much time connected. I see it all the time with the kids that are gamers and they're on, you know, 8-9 hours at a time. And once they disengage, you know, they're more vicious, they're yelling, they're arguing, they're difficult. And the minute you take them off of that technology or that screen time, then the more empathetic and the more compassionate they become.
You know, I've seen that firsthand in my practice with kids playing these games, and the parents pull it away, and I just see this violent fit that they have. It's like an addiction. It's like taking somebody's cigarette right out of their mouth when they're not done smoking it. It
absolutely.
Really is.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I mean, unless you're the front line like you, people have a hard time believing that that it is as difficult. It's like taking away someone's heroin or their cigarettes or whatever. I mean, it's the same reaction that you get.
Right. Now, I did read, I want to mention, I read that you helped develop an assessment test that helps parents identify if their child is at risk from technology overuse. Share more with us, and how does it work, and how can people find it?
So the technology, we did a technology use continuum because, you know, I'm a little bit reticent about putting labels on it. You know, as a science, like our field doesn't have an actual disorder diagnosable for technology addiction or internet addiction. I know that there's things that are online that say that they're assessing that. But the reality is there's nothing in our DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, that tells us that this is what this cluster is going to look like. It basically is a research platform right now that everybody's getting data for. So what we did was look at how do you use technology? What does the use look like? And we break it up into four main areas, which is behavioral, emotional, physical, and interpersonal. Because the reality is those are the places that I, as a practitioner, need to know how to address. And so the question walks them through these various questions so that if I've got a kid, I might have a star football player who has no physical issues and is healthy and doing everything he's supposed to do, and emotionally is at grade level and doing fine, but his behaviors against his parents are violent and aggressive, and interpersonally he doesn't know how to ask anybody out for a date or, you know, how to hang out with friends appropriately. So I don't want to waste time in that sense, like, you know, doing stuff that maybe doesn't impact them. So it just assesses it in a way that gives parents a better understanding of here's where the issues are and here's the parts that you should probably address, either through a counselor or maybe in the house if you feel like you can address it on your own.
Right. That makes sense. Do you feel that children should have cell phones? I know parents like it because it keeps track of where their kid is, but now it opens that whole big bag of worms. Is there a certain age that you think that they're adult enough?
Yeah. Average age in the United States is now 6, and I think that that's ridiculous. Personally, 6 years of age is first personal device for a child. Age 9 is the average age that most children have viewed pornography, and chronic use of pornography starts at 11. And this is all tied to these personal cell phones so these kids can walk around and access the entire internet. So, you know, my personal guidance of where I talk to parents is, A, you have to look at the emotional maturity of your child and what it is the purpose of that cell phone is. Sexting happens, bullying happens, like all of these kind of dramatic issues happen, and it's already hard to be a kid. So if you're going to add in a layer of giving them a personal cell phone, what is your purpose on that? Know that first, and then understand whether or not does it have to be a smartphone, or can you just get like one of these flip phones where you can access them, you can call them, they can call you, they can dial in their friends' numbers. They may not be the most popular kids if they don't have what everybody else has, but I promise you will be the healthiest.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Think about this. We survived just fine, didn't we?
Totally fine. Absolutely.
We made it. Yeah. I didn't get lost. Absolutely. You know, my mom didn't say, oh, my son, if we only had a phone back when we went to Disney World, Mom, I'm here.
Right. We will meet at the teacups at 2:00. That's what we did. Yes.
It's crazy. Now, in addition to the psychological impact technology has on children and teens, there's also a physical aspect. We gotta end with that because that's me. You know, me as a doc, I worry about that. The lack of physical exercise. When I was young, I spent hours every week playing baseball, soccer, kickball in the neighborhood. Today, kids sit on their behinds playing hours of video games at their computer, tablet, or phone. I believe this is one of the major contributing factors to childhood obesity. What can parents do?
Absolutely. You know, again, it goes back to balance. You know, a lot of times, you know, I always tell parents, you are in charge. And I think that we've lost that direction lately, what I see in society, that kids are kind of calling the shots. And maybe it's easier for parents to let them kind of get behind a computer or behind a game console. But, you know, it was about probably 10 years ago when you started to see the effects of it, mostly from the military research, where kids were showing up that were volunteering to go into service and they were not fit for duty. And it wasn't because of anything, but that muscles were so atrophied. And that was the first sign. I don't know if you remember reading that literature, but It was about 10 years ago, and I thought, oh my gosh, like, it is so ubiquitous. We have kids that actually can't run a mile. And that's awful. At 18 years old, that's awful. So, I think that as a doctor, you're right to pay attention to it. We've developed a tech for medical offices, actually, that doctors are now using to give to parents that highlight some of those issues, because I think it's so important to get doctors to start asking those questions as well, because sometimes doctors don't know how to address the technology or what the questions are. So it just opens the window to say, here's what the parameters are, and here's what your kids should be doing. If they're going to spend an hour on the computer, they need to spend an hour playing baseball. And that's my guide for everybody. It's like, you know, balance time.
Kind of a reward-based system where, hey, you know, in increments and somehow balance. And I think that once they start it and they get addicted to this Mario Brothers, I don't know, I'm showing my age, who knows what the new ones are, but they're like, Mario, what's he talking about? But all those games where there's an addiction, I think they're stuck. I think parents need to really start early and just say, you know, hey, bounce around like Mario out back. Here's a ball. Go squash it.
Right. I say to my folks, I say real sports before game sports. So that's what, you know, I mean, again, it has to be something that you're right, bouncing around outside, whatever it is. My mom used to lock me outside the house. It's a nice day. So we'd be locked outside. So, kids don't do that anymore. So
instead of grounding your kids to their bedroom like I used to have, ground them, kick them outside as their punishment.
Right. Go figure it out.
It's like opposite. What do you mean? No, I don't want to go outside. You better behave. You do this, or you're going to go outside, and then they're going to behave, and then you balance it out. So all great stuff. Well, hey, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, it's a great topic. I'm so glad we touched upon it. I think this is such a serious issue, and I hope people, you know, reach out for your book. I hope they reach out for your website. And, you know, I urge all parents to learn more by going to drlisastroman.com. That's T-S-T-R-O-H-M-A-N, drlisastroman.com. Get your copy of the book, Unplug, Raising Kids in a Technology-Addicted World. Also, make sure to follow her on Twitter, at Dr. Lisa Stroman. For our daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. You can stay up to date with all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned. Stay well.